We're going to open our Bibles tonight to First Book of Kings, chapter 19. And I just want to read three verses where we'll be tonight in First Kings, chapter 19, verses 19 to 21. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphath, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him, and took a yoke of oxen, and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And he arose, and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this time where we can open your word, and I just pray that you'll open our hearts to your word and the message of your word tonight. And I pray that these words would be not mine, but from thee and from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have here the account of Elisha's call to the ministry. A call on the life of Elisha to serve the Lord for the rest of his life. And as we look into this passage tonight, we will be impressed by Elisha's total and utter commitment to this call of God upon his life. And it's a little bit like the story of the chicken and the pig, who approached a church and read the advertisement on the sign outside, "What can we do to help the poor?" And immediately the chicken suggested they feed the poor bacon and eggs. The pig thought for a moment and said, "There's only one thing wrong with feeding bacon and eggs to the poor. For you, chicken, it only requires a contribution. But for me, it requires a total commitment." And as we go through this account of the calling of Elisha, we shall see that Elisha was totally committed to the call of the Lord upon his life. There was no thought, no consideration of turning back as far as Elisha was concerned. And the challenge for us will be, what is our commitment like when it comes to the Lord's call upon us? Are we willing to be fully committed, or only willing to contribute a little bit here and there on a random basis? Let's take a look at what we have here in this passage. First, we can see that the Lord was definitely behind this call upon Elisha. It wasn't Elijah's random choice. Note back in verse 16, and the Lord is speaking to Elijah, and he says to him, "And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehulah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." God told Elijah to anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. And if we look back in verse 15, he also told him to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And then he told him, as we read there, to go and anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, to be prophet in thy room, or in his place, to be his replacement. And it's interesting, though, we see here that Elijah was told to go and anoint these two men as king, and then to go and appoint Elisha to be the prophet in his place. There's no more mention of those two kings in this passage. Elijah didn't go to do the kings. He went first to find Elisha. You know, earthly kings come and go, and often they don't leave much of an impression. Just think about how many prime ministers we've had in the last 10 years. They come and go. They're there one day, they're not the next. And we tend to forget about them. But a man or woman of God ranks higher. And when they're the focus of God's purpose on their life, especially that totally committed man or woman to God's call upon their life, the impact of a totally committed servant of the Lord is far and wide reaching and leaves a lasting impression. And we see in our passage here that Elijah reached Elisha. And when he found him, he was there ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen. There in verse 19, we read that. Ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen. God found Elisha here ploughing. He was at work. And have you ever noticed that God does not call a lazy or idle servant? He looks for those who are busy, those who are working. Here is Elisha out in the dusty paddock, working hard, ploughing. Now in these days, ploughing was a hard job, hard labour. No air-conditioned tractor with air ride in the seat. No, you had to control the animals. You had to hold that plough down. You had to choke in the dust. You had to keep on sweating and pushing and bouncing along on that plough behind those oxen. This was no joyride, that this job that Elisha was found here doing. It's obvious as we consider what we're told here that Elisha was ambitious. He was a hard worker. And think for a minute about the description we have here in verse 19 of how many yoke of oxen Elisha had. 12 yoke of oxen before him, it says. Now normally a yoke of oxen would be two oxen joined together with the yoke. So 12 yoke of oxen would be 24 individual oxen here ploughing the field. Now, to own of a yoke of oxen in Bible times, in this time period, you would have been doing well. But to own 12 yoke of oxen, that is very unusual. Oxen were a very expensive item in biblical times. Some farmers even struggled to own a single team, a single yoke of oxen. And in ancient documents found in these areas, there are records of farmers renting them from wealthy owners or even from government officials to be able to plough their field. And as you read the text here of Elisha, you see, you get the impression that Elisha owns both all these oxen and the land, and it seems that he's in charge of the whole team and he's on the plough himself. And the fact, as we continue through the text, that he sacrificed some of the oxen to the Lord implies he owned them, because it would have been quite a crime to kill oxen for no good reason because they were so expensive and very important to the farming needs of the day. And I see here in the text telling us that Elisha owns 12 yoke of oxen. Gives us the story of that he was an industrious farmer and also a man of means. He was well-to-do. Owning, I tried to think what 24 oxen, 12 yoke of oxen, would equate to in today's standards. You know, perhaps it's equivalent to you owning 12 tractors, in a way. And Elisha had 12 teams of oxen at his disposal. And I guess to compare Elisha's farm equipment, if you like, in modern day terms, you could say Elisha owns a fleet of John Deere tractors while his poor neighbours are bouncing along an old battered Fordson Major. And yet, it's quite obvious that Elisha was a humble man. For if he was well-to-do enough, prosperous enough, to have 12 yoke of oxen out in the paddock to plough with, he quite possibly could have just hired servants to do that hard work. Yet we see clearly in our text He was out there on the plough. He was out there working hard. His hand was on the plough. You know, we can often be spiritually ambitious, but we need to be also humble. God is looking for those attributes in those he chooses to call into his service and his ministry. And I guess we can challenge ourselves as we consider Elisha. Are we ambitious like he was? Are we hard working? Or are we more go with the flow or stay as just as I am kind of Christians? Or are we a bit more like Elisha, a go-getter, busy, hard at it, industrious, but also humble, out there working hard, doing that hard, sweaty, dusty job? And this is where God found Elisha, behind the plough. And it's also interesting to consider and note Elisha's immediate reaction, his immediate actions after Elijah seemingly casts his mantle upon him and keeps walking. And we read there in verse 20, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah. You know, there's no hesitation here on Elisha's part. He leaves the oxen and he runs. This act of running indicates urgency, a desire to get somewhere. Elisha wasn't standing still. He leaves the oxen and he runs. He is out of there. He's gone, whoosh, and he's after Elijah. No sign of hesitation. He received the call from the Lord with that mantle thrown upon him. And bang, he was out like a runner who heard the starting gun. He was off and running. He was obviously excited and keen about the prospect of following Elijah. There was no hesitation. He left the oxen and ran. What about us when we're asked to serve our Lord and our God and our Saviour? Are we keen and rearing to go? Or do we stop and stand still and hum-ha? What do I want to do? What impact is this serving God going to have on my personal life? I can't give God my time. It's my time anyway. Is this how we think? You know, Elisha did realise the impact on his personal life, his family life. We see it right here in verse 20. He says to Elijah, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." Practically speaking, Elisha had a duty to go and tell his parents where he was going. And it's interesting as we consider what Elijah said to him in his response. "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" It could be paraphrased as, "Go ahead, you're free to do what you like." You know, Elijah is basically saying he's not here to stop him from saying farewell to his parents. And it wasn't Elijah's choice to choose Elisha. It was God's choice. And really, it was Elisha's choice on how he would respond to that call. You know, by Elijah coming along and throwing that mantle upon Elisha, the message was clear. He was to be the successor to the mighty prophet Elijah. The call was clear from the Lord. You know, but Elijah's job was not to force Elisha to follow him. No, Elisha's desire to follow had to come from his heart. It had to come from the Lord. Really, you could say that what Elijah was saying to Elisha here was, "Hey, I'm not your boss. If out of respect to your parents you want to say goodbye to them and to your family first, go ahead. I've done my job as the Lord commanded you, me. The rest is a matter between you and the Lord." God had given the call to Elisha, and it was now in his court as to how he would react to that call, that divine call upon his life. And we can see, as we consider the man Elisha, that he was God's chosen man to replace Elijah. And in fact, his actions here show just how wholehearted his commitment is to God's call upon his life. Verse 21, and he, Elisha, returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen. And he gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. In this verse, we see Elisha burning his bridges behind him, so to speak. He rushes home. He takes a yoke of oxen and he kills them. Then we see here how it says, their flesh he boiled with instruments of the oxen. He took a yoke of oxen, two oxen. He killed them. Then he gets the yoke and perhaps even the plough. And it says the instruments of the oxen, the tools that the oxen were joined to. He uses those materials to start a fire and boil those two oxen for a meal. He burns the yoke and the plough to cook this roast oxen. And because we see here him burning the plough and sacrificing a pair of oxen, Elisha shows his earnest and total commitment to leave behind his prosperous farming lifestyle, leave behind his oxen, leave behind his family ties. He was planning to leave all those things behind him and follow the call of God and follow the prophet Elijah. And in doing so, he was following God's call upon his life. Elisha left the oxen. He ran. You know, whether a person chooses to obey God's call or not to obey God's call, it's up to them as an individual. You know, if the person being called is willing to count the cost, there is a cost, and is submissive to God's calling upon their life, you know, they should heed God's call willingly, gladly, and be at peace with that decision. You know, Elijah's response, "What have I done for you?" puts the ball back into Elisha's court. He had to make the decision. Elijah wasn't going to drag him kicking and screaming down the road to follow him. Elisha had to do it because he decided to do it. And we can see here in verse 21 that Elisha realised he no longer needed the oxen. He no longer needed the plough. He didn't need the yoke. So he sacrificed the oxen and he cooked their meat, fueled with the fire from the burning of the plough and the yoke implements that were no longer needed. And then he had a bit of a party for his household and had roast oxen. Elisha left the oxen. He ran. And he also burned the plough and roasted the cow. I think we're safe in concluding that Elisha, as we see from this text, an obviously wealthy and hard-working landowner, a well-to-do farmer. He probably had a great future there on the farm with all those yoke of oxen and the land he had. Yet he left all that behind. And he did count the cost of following Elijah, following God's call. And he gladly and he fully and he totally submitted himself and committed himself to following and serving the prophet Elijah as per the call of God upon his life. He counted the cost and he burnt his bridges behind him. He wasn't going to come back. He wasn't going to turn back. And it's interesting to also consider how Elisha didn't start out his apprenticeship following Elijah by performing spectacular miracles and being involved in an exciting ministry with Elijah. That did come down the track. He became a great prophet of God. But to begin with, his role was very humble. 2 Kings chapter 3, and it's worth just turning a few pages to 2 Kings chapter 3 to see where Elisha went after he followed Elijah. Verse 11 of 2 Kings 3. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one said of the king, and one of the kings of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." Elisha, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. In other words, Elisha went from that wealthy farmer with those many yoke of oxen. He left that and his family, and he became a servant of the prophet Elijah. A servant who just poured water on the hands of the prophet. Mundane tasks. Providing washing water for the great prophet to wash his hands in. Does that sound like a role worth leaving those oxen behind? Burning the bridges behind him? You know, Elisha, his greatness wasn't defined by his wealth, wasn't defined by what he had, but it's solely confined by his obedient, total, committed relationship with the one true God and answering that call upon his life. And it was at a great personal cost to him. It was a great personal cost to him. And that moment of decision there in the paddock, when the prophet Elijah threw that mantle upon Elisha. Elisha left his oxen and he ran. It was a moment of eternal decision. And we know how far Elisha went. He became a great man of God. And everybody, even perhaps unsaved, who don't believe, know the name Elisha. This call of God upon his life and the decision he made. And there was other negatives as well. Elijah was in a tight situation at this time. Death threats by the Queen Jezebel. It was a bad time to be a prophet for the Lord. Many of them being killed. There was a lot of negatives in this call. And Elisha left behind a prosperous business and financial security. His retirement fund, he left it behind. He left his father and his mother. Let's bring this down to a New Testament level. During the Lord Jesus Christ's earthly ministry, there was a wonderful atmosphere around the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people followed him. There was great multitudes who travelled miles to hear and to see the Lord Jesus Christ. There was the prophetic awe as they saw prophecies fulfilled. There was the culture of something different and new. The miracles, the crowds, the excitement, the healings. Many things that drew the crowds. Everybody wanted to follow Jesus. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. In verse 57, we read of Luke chapter 9. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Beautiful words. "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." A keen disciple here. "Lord, this is awesome. I want to be one of your followers. I'll go with you wherever you go." It sounds good. Oh, here's someone who wants to follow the Lord Jesus Christ anywhere and everywhere. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who can see the heart, who can see what's on the inside, who can see the future, had some sobering words for his exuberant would-be follower in verse 58. And Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." There's no financial security in following me, the Lord Jesus Christ told him. The foxes have holes, the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Will you still follow me now? What about your home, your furniture, your security you enjoy there, your comforts, your mouse-free, ant-free, totally automated kitchen, your new surround sound home entertainment centre? Jesus says, follow me. Am I more precious, more satisfying than these? You know, there's always a cost following the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not always smooth sailing. In the next short while, the Lord Jesus Christ would be hanging on the cross, and even his most faithful disciples desert him. Simon, who boldly declared him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, even Simon denied him with cursings, denying even knowing him or having been seen near him. There's a cost to following Christ. There's some things we have to let go. There's many things we have to let go. Are we willing to burn our bridges behind us and follow him? Follow him with that total commitment, such as Elisha showed. Verse 59 here, we have another one that asked the Lord Jesus, could he follow him? And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me to first go to bury my father. And the Lord Jesus Christ said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You know, followers of Jesus have to put him before earthly relatives and friends. Matthew 10:37, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. People will say, I'll follow Jesus. I'll follow Jesus. Or they might say, I'll follow Jesus a bit later. A little bit later, I'll follow Jesus. I've got more other important things to attend to right now. There's my career. There's my education. There's my girlfriend or my boyfriend. I've got to provide a nest egg for my family first. Wouldn't God want me to be responsible like that? We have to ask ourselves the question, what do we cherish more? Relatives, friends, or the giver of life, the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, it's not that it's wrong to come home for your dad's funeral. The point is, we need to have our priorities right. Where is our heart? Where are our treasures? Who is first, the Lord Jesus Christ or other things? You know, the point is that Lord Jesus Christ is absolute. All other allegiances are relative. There's hundreds of choices we have to make, especially if we want to serve the Lord. And there's no simple way. We have to count the cost. Do you want Christ above all? Do you want to follow him more than anything? Elisha went back, but only to remove the temptation to return. Are we willing to do the same? There's another would-be follower in verse 61 here in Luke 9. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, followers, would-be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, are not to be distracted from his call or to give up and go back. The we can't put a hand to the plough and then look back. You can't serve Christ if we're not willing to count the cost. And we can't make our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't bring the glory to Him if you're always second-guessing the value of following Him. You know, looking back means longing back. It means we're not really sure He's worth following. We need to be totally committed. Divided hearts like that, where we follow for a while, then we pull back. Follow for a while, then turn back. You know, Elisha didn't look back. He left his oxen. He left them running. He couldn't move any faster to obey the call of the Lord upon his life. And he never went back to working on his farm with those 12 yoke of oxen, though there would have been only 11 after he'd burnt two. He burnt his instruments of work and that one yoke of oxen. He offered them up as a sacrifice, as a picture of his commitment, to show that he wasn't going to turn back from following the call of God on his life. We can see many parallels in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He called some of his disciples, "Come and follow me." And they left their boats and their nets and they followed him. Following our Lord Jesus Christ starts with the call of the gospel. The call of the gospel. Sadly, many take the call of the gospel as an addition without subtraction. And many try to add Christ to their lives and not willing to subtract anything. Sometimes not even willing to subtract sin. It's a change in belief without a change in behaviour. With no change to our day-to-day lives. We try to add Christ without removing anything. We just try to make a contribution without the total commitment. A changed life is one that has added Christ and subtracted sin and subtracted anything that holds us back from following him the way we should. And our actions are the proof. Obedience is the proof. Are we willing to obey God's call, no matter the cost, no matter the sacrifice needed to achieve that obedience to God? We can't have God and the world. God wants all of us. He wants every little bit of you. He doesn't want half-hearted commitments. He wants a wholehearted commitment. And once we've made that decision to follow Christ and accept that salvation that he offers us, you know, many hesitate to accept the call of salvation on their life. Many cannot let go of the things that hold them back from being saved. We cannot leave those oxen in our lives. We try to hang on to the oxen. We don't let go. We don't even want to walk away from those oxen, let alone run. Perhaps friends hold you back. You know that you will not be your friend's friend anymore if you follow the call of the gospel. If I follow the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, I will lose all my friends. If I get saved, I'll have to change too many things. Have you ever thought about what the Lord Jesus Christ did? What he left behind in order to be able to go to the cross for your sin and mine? He left behind the glory of heaven. He left behind the glory of being at the right hand of God. He left the glory of being the sinless Lamb of God. And he bore our sins on his own sinless body there on that cruel cross. You could say he left the oxen behind. He left the easy path behind. What was the cost? He was forsaken by even his heavenly Father. He was forsaken by all his friends. He was forsaken by all. He left it all. He did it all for you and me. It's just so he could offer us the forgiveness of our sins. And yet, we ourselves hesitate because we might have to leave the oxen behind. We might have to burn the plough. We might have to lose friends. We might have to even loose the family ties. Why do we hesitate to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? It's worth it. The eternal gain, the long term eternal gain is worth it. After we accept the call of the gospel and we are saved, we become the children of God. We become heirs to the throne. And then we should be willing to be called to serve. Called to serve our Lord and our God and our Saviour. Elisha was willing. Elisha was ready. He was willing to fully commit, totally commit to serving the Lord with his whole life, the rest of his life. And just like Elisha, who made that total, full, unreversible commitment, we need to be willing to do the same. Elisha deliberately removed all the obstacles and even removed the reason for him to turn back from following God. He did the modern equivalent of burning his bridges behind him. He gave up worldly security for a higher calling. He gave up financial security. He gave up his family. Elisha, as we saw him burn the plough and roast the cow, he supplied meat to the people. His dedication to God's call on his life, it became a source of life and strength to the people. And often we're tempted to tire of our roles and responsibilities. And it always helps us to remember God has planted us in a certain place and expects us to be a good steward. The Lord Jesus Christ expects us to be faithful where he puts us. And when he returns, we'll rule with him forever. Some of you may be saying or thinking, the call to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a big commitment. That's a big commitment. There's a big cost. Yes, but look what God has done for you. Look at the commitment God has made for you. No one else is worthy of the sacrifices called for here. The story is told in the USSR, as it was, during the reign of Stalin. An old woman entered the Russian Orthodox Church. She approached the statue of Christ and reverently kissed Christ's foot. The communist guards who stood there said, "Old woman, are you also willing to kiss Premier Joseph Stalin's foot?" She answered, "If he would die on the cross for my sins and rise again, yes." Jesus alone is worthy. He is worthy of our commitment. He is worthy. The Lord Jesus Christ is worth following. Because if you follow him, you will be saved from coming judgment. Not only will you be saved, you'll be given a mission that is more precious than burying your father. As we saw there in verse 62 of Luke 9. Sorry, verse 60. "But go thou and preach the kingdom of God." We need to preach the kingdom of God. You know, if God is moving you to consider the possibility of following him in your future, we know that he is worthy. And following him will always mean more than one thing. If it means for you some suffering and some loneliness and some loss, he'll be there. We need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ fully. Perhaps you feel insignificant, like your efforts aren't being noticed or appreciated. The Lord sees, the Lord knows. The story is told of a humble minister in the village of Leicestershire, England, who only influenced two boys to accept Christ during his entire ministry. Some would call that a waste of time. But the two boys he influenced were William Carey, the father of world missions and the first missionary to India, and Robert Hall, the greatest preacher of that time. God knows what we're doing. God knows your name. He's aware of what we do and what we're able to do. We have to be faithful. We have to be committed. We have to leave the oxen behind. We have to burn the plough and roast the cow. And what did Elisha burn? Those yokes of bondage, the things that held him back, he burnt them. The worldly plough, the source of his income, he burnt that. The oxen, those earthly possessions, he cooked that up and shared it with others. Are you willing to leave the oxen, burn the plough, and roast the cow? Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that each one of us would be willing to go where you call us to go and to do and to serve in the way that you call us to serve. And I pray that if there's any here who haven't followed the call of salvation upon their life, they would follow your call to follow them, follow you. And that each one here tonight would know the joy of having you as their personal Lord and Saviour and following that call upon their life. So we just pray your blessings upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.